Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Well, a few years back, I won a pair of season tickets to the Atlanta Falcons. That was kind of fun to have those around, but one of the things you got to know when you win stuff like that, you still have to pay taxes on it. You know, that's kind of an inconvenience. But the other inconvenience was is that, well, Atlanta is 4 hours away from Savannah. So if you're going to go and watch a game at 1 o'clock or a 3 o'clock game, it's hard for a pastor to get up there and go watch those games. Now, my family, who went instead, had no problems at all leaving early on Sunday morning to go up there. But there was one time, though, that I wanted to make sure that there was a game I was going to see. And that's when the Kansas City Chiefs came down to play the Falcons. So I got a pastor to cover for me. And what was the first thing he told the congregation why he was there? Well, your pastor's going to see a football game this morning. So anyway, so we went to the game, and it's like so I got the helmet here. You know, I had the Chiefs paraphernalia on, so I had my, you know, Kansas City Chiefs jersey that I was wearing and all that good stuff. And, you know, when you go to a place like that and you're wearing the visiting team's colors, you're always kind of wondering, how are you going to be received? You know, we were getting all kinds of those, you know, what are you doing here kind of looks, you know, from people. But as we're walking by there, the only person who said anything was a hot dog vendor who hollered out and he goes, "Hey, we even serve Kansas City fans over here." Didn't really motivate me to want to go buy food or anything, but that's always kind of the thing that's going on in the back of your mind, though. You know, because when you're wearing your own team's colors and you're going to your own team's venue, well, what do you, it's great, you know, everybody else is wearing the same color that you are, you know, you're telling everybody whose team you're supporting, and the same thing also is that when you're wearing the visiting colors too, you're always wondering again, you know, how am I going to be received? And that's a good reason, talking about here, why we're bringing forward this particular message here for today and celebrating this particular Sunday, the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Now, right now, some of you are thinking, the what? The Augsburg Confession? What's that? Well, you got to go back to your confirmation days, do you not? When you studied that, found out that that's what Lutheranism's all about. And maybe if you didn't learn it in catechism there, well, maybe you saw it in the Luther movie, right? Talking about bringing forward the Augsburg Confession. And what that is it's a statement of beliefs about what we believe. Again, it was on this date, June 25th, 1530, that Philip Melanchthon and several German princes presented this to the emperor, what Luther and many others were confessing that they believed about Jesus Christ. As you recall, many years earlier, October 31st, 1517, right? It's when Luther nailed the theses to the church door 500 years ago. We're celebrating that this coming October. Now with that created kind of a firestorm, did it not? Because here Luther was pointing out all kinds of abuses and things that were going on within the church, and he wanted to reform the church from within, not start something new. But the trouble was is that, well, the people there, they didn't like what Luther had to say. In fact, he got branded a heretic and in turn declared an outlaw. Now, once he was declared an outlaw, well, that meant that, well, his life was forfeit. Anybody who came across him could kill him with no remorse and no punishment. Now, that was a difficult thing. Because you see, all of these issues here were put together into this document. And so there were many German princes who were supporting this as well. All kinds of people. And they're bringing this forward before the emperor to state what exactly they believe. And they too then were putting their own lives at risk. By doing so, the emperor there, he too had the authority, just like he did with Luther. He could have put all of these princes and everybody else who supported this to death. Now, despite this threat upon their lives, they thought it important to confess their faith in Jesus. As Margrave George, the confessor, a signer of the Augsburg Confession, said to the emperor, "Before I would deny my God and his gospel, I would rather kneel down before your imperial emperor and let you cut off my head." That's what one of the princes said to the emperor. He'd rather die than deny his God. Now, is this some kind of new zealousness that was going on? Or perhaps does it have its roots in the Bible? That's where you need to go to our gospel reading for today, where Jesus was speaking these words. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Indeed, Jesus asks us, you and I, to take our faith very seriously. It's far more important to acknowledge the one who has control over your own soul, the one who can send your soul and body to hell, than worry about the one who can take your life. So Margrave, right now Margrave, all that means, that's just a German word for Lord, so you could call him Lord George, the confessor. Anyway, Margrave George took very seriously his faith in Jesus Christ, exactly as Jesus had directed. So speaking to the emperor, he said he'd rather lose his life than lose his faith in Jesus Christ. Such is the example that he gave. Such is the example that we should follow. Have you ever thought about your faith in those kinds of terms, taking it that seriously? For those back in the day, it was truly a matter of life and death. For some around the world today, their faith is a matter of life and death. In all of this, what is truly at stake here? Your soul. Is your soul worth it? Now, many today sell their soul for things of this world. They look upon the pleasures of this world as more important than their faith. Now, if you think about it, the accumulation of wealth is important to many, many people. In fact, you look on TV there, we got three cable channels that are entirely devoted to gaining more wealth. All kinds of programs on there talking about wealth and what people do with their wealth and all that kind of stuff. Well, I realize that money is important, okay? I recognize that. Zig Ziglar said that money isn't the most important thing in life, but it's reasonably close to oxygen as one of those, you got to have it. So yeah, money and oxygen, yeah, those are things that, yeah, okay, yeah, we definitely need oxygen, but yeah, money's right there with it. I got that. But the trouble is that when you start making that a little bit higher priority than, say, oxygen, really, and what happens? Well, that's when you begin to sell out your soul. Might be for money, might be something else. It could be your children, your career, whatever in life that you put as a higher priority than Jesus is what you're selling yourself out for. Now, while someone might not threaten your life because of your faith, they might threaten your career over your faith. So is your job more important than your faith? And right now you're probably thinking, ouch, did you really have to go and say that, Pastor? Well, that's really what Jesus is getting to here. That's the situation at hand. Where does Jesus fit in your life? You see, Jesus has your best interest at heart. In fact, he has your eternal interest at his heart. That's what's most important to him. He's the one who died to take away the punishment for your sins and rose from the grave alive, has a vested interest in you. He who gives you life has an expectation then in turn that you would acknowledge the one who gave up his life for you, who rose from the grave for you, giving you hope. He has that expectation. That's a matter of showing whom you belong to. You belong to Jesus. Now, you can do that in a number of ways. Now, I'm going to use my daughter Rachel as an example here. She's, as you have heard me say, she's going to go over and teach in China. Going to be leaving here in about a month. Now, many family friends were saying to her, it's like, why on earth would you go over there? You know, she was the youth leader down where we were in Savannah. And they're like, why would you give up opportunities to share Jesus with others when you can't do that over there? Well, in order for her to go and worship over there, she was telling them about, well, what does she have to do? She had to get online, go to the church site where she's going to be attending, indicate in there who she is, passport number, all that kind of stuff, or else she wouldn't be allowed to get on the compound to even go into worship. She was rather excited that she had to be able to do that, actually. Why? Because as she put it, she's telling the Chinese government that, yes, indeed, she is a Christian. She's proud of it. And this is what, I don't care what you have to make me do. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to go and worship. I still belong to Jesus. You see, all those things that they're making her go through are basically asking the question, are you a Christian? Do you admit who you are and to whom you belong? She was happy to check yes. Do you do that with others? Show that you are a Christian? You know, the presentation of the Augsburg Confession showed that there were many in the government who felt it very important to do that very thing. They expressed their personal beliefs in Jesus Christ to those who were in authority. And because they did, yes, they put their lives on the line. But who are the ones who benefit from that? You and I benefit from the fact that they did that in front of the emperor on this date in 1530. You see, because they did, they were able to worship in the manner of their choosing. Today, we are able to worship in the manner of our choosing. We teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if you want to put it in good old Lutheran terms, it's faith alone, grace alone, and Scripture alone. Use the blessing that you have been given. Confess Jesus Christ. And that's all that means is saying we're saying the same thing about Jesus. We're telling others what we believe in Jesus and to whom we belong. May be to God's glory, to Him forever and ever.